This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope you guys are all doing well. Mashallah, the brothers here are telling me why don't we let people in on our little banter in the car here. Let people in the chat, mashallah. So I thought, yeah, not a bad idea, alhamdulillah. So hope you guys are doing well, alhamdulillah. You know, sometimes when we're on a journey, we tend to forget that there are a few small things, a few small rules that we actually need to live by, right? We're Muslims, number one. Number two is we're taught what is known as the dua of the journey, which we shouldn't forget. So that's like Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. You're basically seeking the help of Allah to be able to navigate your vehicle and to be able to be protected by Allah. If you know the longer dua, Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar, oh Allah, you are the companion on the journey. Wal khalifatu fil ahl, you know, you leave behind your loved ones in the care of Allah. So that's something also very important. Allahumma hawwin alayna safarana hadha, oh Allah, make easy for us this journey of ours, right? Watwi anna bu'dah, and oh Allah, let its distance be crumpled for us. Make it short, make the journey pleasant, easy. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha albirra wal taqwa, oh Allah, we ask you for this journey of ours, or in this journey of ours, on this journey of ours, righteousness and God consciousness. So make us conscious of you all the time. You know, a lot of people have perished and died on journeys while they are driving. So we're saying, oh Allah, as'aluka fi safarina hadha albirra wa taqwa. We ask you, or I ask you, on this journey of mine, God consciousness, righteousness. وَمِنَ الْعَمَلِ مَا تَرْضَى, and oh Allah, I ask you deeds that will be pleasing to you, right? اللهم إنا نعوذ بك. So you're asking Allah to grant you the goodness of the journey, and then you say, oh Allah, I seek your protection from, I seek refuge in you from. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min wa'atha'i safari wa ka'abati al-manzari wa su'il munqalabi fil mali wal ahl. You know, the harm or the negatives of this journey, that which is unpleasant to the eyes, and that which is a bad outcome, something which is bad in the journey, meaning protect us from accidents, protect us from harm, protect us from evil, protect us from sin. And then you say, "Fil mali wal ahli," and you know, protect us from that which is bad or evil, a bad outcome in our wealth and in our families that you have left behind, as well as those who are with you, perhaps on your journey. That's a good thing. So, to be conscious of that, to make that dua, it's important. Now, if you don't know the dua, at least say Bismillah when you are starting your journey. At least say Bismillah when you're starting your journey, because that will be really beneficial. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, you know, you have to be conscious of the speed traps. That's something amazing, because while we're not bad speeders, like we like to speed and all of that, but what's important for us to know is, you know, all of us, without exception, become conscious of the speed traps, because we know and we realize that this is going to result in us being penalized, punished by the law. They pay a fine. That fine is a few dollars, a few pounds. And so we slow down. We make sure we follow the rule. Khalas, and even if we're coming at full speed, when we see or we know that there is a speed trap, what happens? Everyone breaks. You must notice, everyone breaks. And people actually know, they all break, subhanAllah. And when they do break, it's funny because they break knowing that I'm just saving myself from the fine. As soon as they pass that particular speed trap, they start speeding again. But the point is, Allah has speed traps as well. Maybe not exactly a speed as in going quick or whatever, but He has His own limits. It's like you have a speed limit. Allah has limits. What are those limits? The things that are haram. And so you're supposed to slow down each time. If you don't, you will be punished. So people say, if Allah is so merciful, why did He need to punish people? I say, well, if this country is so modern and so beautiful and so much for the rights of the people, why does it punish people who go beyond the limit? Just the speed limit. Come on. I was just driving my car a little bit quick. It was so safe. It was lovely. It was amazing. Why do you have to fine me? Come on. What type of oppression is that? Where's my human right? Well, that's exactly what we're saying. Doesn't it sound stupid? Well, you went over the limit that was decided by some guy who was engineering the road, or a group of people. He decided this road 70, the other road 100, the other road 120 kilometers an hour, whatever. The general speed limit is going to be this and that. These are human beings who decided it, and we stick by it, and we never ever say they're oppressive because they have a limit. They don't want us to do what we please. And at the same time, we never ever say that we're not going to pay the fine. We don't. And actually, it's so inhumane to fine a person just because they were driving fast, or just because they crossed a limit that was created by man. Allah has limits, and He is the most merciful. You know, you say it's a modern country. Modern countries have sophisticated ways of governing the speed of the people. Very sophisticated. As you would not say that it's a backward country, or it's people who are backdated because they have put limits and they're punishing people for limits, yet it's a rich country. They don't need the money. Same way, don't ever think Allah is punish those who have transgressed. Don't ever think that. If He wants, He may not punish. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ. Allah will not forgive those of a certain sin, which is known as shirk, association of partners with Him in worship. Besides that, He says, I can forgive anything. Whether you've asked for the forgiveness or you haven't, it's up to me what to do. So we are hoping for the mercy of Allah. We all hope for the mercy of Allah. But do you know what? Don't ever come up with a line that if Allah was so merciful, what's the need for punishing people? Because that's the case. Try not paying your fines. You'll end up in jail. Every place, every country, as modern, as sophisticated, as much as they might uphold human rights and everything else, they have prisons, and their prisons are relatively full, to be honest. Does that make them any less modern, any less forward thinkers and so on? No, not at all. It's part of the justice. If one has, I mean, there has to be justice. That's part of Allah's plan. So there are people who say this. I thought I'd just quickly talk about this for a few minutes, and maybe you can give me some of your ideas, inshallah. Yeah, may Allah Almighty grant ease and goodness. I hope you guys are all doing well. I have some brothers here. Maybe if there is a comment or two, I can't read it because I'm concentrating on the road. But perhaps if there is a comment or two of note, he might let me know what's going on. If not, I think we might end up doing a few of these lives on some of our journeys. I'm going to be driving north and south and east and west in the next few days. So mashallah, it's been lovely to be able to talk to you guys live. Yeah, what's the question? Nisab. So if you don't have the nisab, which is approximately 87 grams of gold, or its equivalent, and you haven't held that nisab for an entire year, then obviously zakat is not compulsory, but you can give charities. A lot of people give voluntary sadaqat and charities just for the sake of Allah. But as for the compulsory zakat, no, it's not compulsory if you don't have meet the threshold. Now, Allahu a'lam.
What can you do to increase your focus?
Well, I'm focusing right now on this road, you can imagine. So basically, an example I want to give is when you're driving at a high speed, for example, say more than 100 kilometers an hour, and you're on, the driver's seat, the driving seat, you've gripped the steering, and mashallah, your hand is on the steering, and you have your foot on the pedals, and there's a lot of traffic, and people, you know, driving all over, people coming and going. Let's say it's a dual carriageway. How would you concentrate? What would you do? Can you look to the left and right and keep on and sip your tea and do whatever you want without any worry? No, you're going to have to push yourself to concentrate, because you have to. And if you feel a little bit sleepy and dozy, you got to get off the track and take a nap, perhaps stop at a point where you can rest a little bit and eat. So perhaps more important way is the concentration and the focus in life. You need to have good friends, you need to have a good circle of people, you need to push yourself to do certain things. You don't push yourself, you're just going to laze around and that's it. You've got to get up in the morning, you've got to start off with Salatul Fajr. May Allah make it easy for all of us. I find it difficult when I'm traveling sometimes to countries where the Salah timings are way off what I'm accustomed to. It's difficult to remember, and your body clock, the automatic natural body clock, doesn't function as well. So if you're a person who always likes to, or who's been fulfilling your salah on time all the time, then what happens is at a point you end up waking up without anyone waking you up. So when you travel and you're going to a zone that is not yours and it's very different from yours, you end up waking up every hour or two just trying to check the time. What's the time salah? What's the time salah? What's the time salah? And then it messes up your rest. But alhamdulillah, it was worth it. But if you're not focused, you're not even going to be bothered. May Allah make us able to inshallah concentrate on that one. Yeah.
Asking you to speak some Urduman.
That was the other day. Just caught. Imagine for years. You see, the reason why I don't lecture in other languages, there are scholars who lecture in those languages, and because English is my mother tongue, should I say? Mother tongue means the language that you grew up speaking from the beginning to now, English. So as much as I do speak several other languages, but I...
Kilometer, continue straight.
Okay. So you guys might have heard that the guy saying in 1 kilometer, continue straight. Let's see if you pick up something strange. Okay, so basically, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ.
Meters, continue straight.
Okay, we will. So, Allah says when we've sent people, or we've sent messengers,
continue straight,
to the people in their language. In their language. So if you had to translate, or if you spoke a language that wasn't actually yours and so on, you know, the power of the message and the ability of getting the message across may not be as grand. Yeah? So it's good to speak a language that you're a master of, rather than a language where you're going to make blunders and people may understand you. You might make a mistake in trying to explain something important and it's going to be problematic. So yeah, If you just want to say hello, how are you, and what's going on, and just the social, you know, getting on with your discussions, that's okay. But to give a talk in a language, I think you should be a master of it, especially if it's an important subject. Well, one day, inshallah, yeah. So Urdu is not so difficult. It's not a difficult language. You know, it's written very similar to Arabic. There are just a few letters of Urdu that are different from Arabic. The rest of them are the same. And a lot of the words actually have similar meanings. So it's not difficult. Urdu is a beautiful tongue, mashallah. Yeah. And I do speak Urdu, by the way. Yeah. I speak quite a few languages, like I said.
Steps to help quit smoking.
Steps to help quit smoking. Just rip up your box and that's it. Don't ever buy anything again. What else can I say? You need willpower. And you know what? You can do it. You should do it. You must do it. Imagine meeting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you have cigarettes or shishas or cigar or whatever else. I mean, come on. What a big embarrassment. And would you like to meet him? Well, if you like to meet him, then just prepare yourself by just quitting things that are not, you know, not good. Steps to quit smoking. Again, you need to be determined and you need to seek Allah's help and you need to be serious about it. If you're serious about it, you'll quit. But if you say, oh, let's see, let me try and so on, doesn't help. That doesn't help. Yeah, you can't just try. You need to do it. I'm not a medical professional, but from a spiritual perspective, yeah. If you're determined, you have willpower, perhaps, you know, you eat healthy, you exercise or gym properly. I think it's beneficial, mashallah. You would be able to quit if you had determination, willpower, and the help of Allah with that. Yep.
Okay, exam results are coming out this week.
Exam results are coming out this week. If you don't get your results, do you know what you can do? You can write again. Repeat. No problem. Repeat. It's okay. If you've made a mistake in your salah, what do you do? Well, you do sujood sahu. And if it's a big blunder or you broke your wudu halfway and you did disqualified from your salah, then you can actually you go and redo that salah of yours. In fact, funny, there's a joke, somebody, you know, there was a football match, and I'm not into football, to be very honest with you. I barely understand much about the teams and what's going on. But I like to say a few things now and again, because a lot of those who derive benefit from a few of the talks that I've done, they're into football and into so many other things. So I show a bit of an interest in it without actually being totally interested in it. I don't know if you understand that. So there was a match yesterday, I think it was, a big one. Was
United
it?
Liverpool.
Yeah, Manchester United and Liverpool, right? So what happened is Liverpool seems to have lost. Am I right, brother?
Yeah.
Liverpool lost. Yeah. So that's exactly what I was saying. Someone sent a little tweet saying Liverpool without Mane. Now Mane is Sadio, our brother, mashallah, lovely, lovely brother. He's shifted out of Liverpool. They say Liverpool without money is like praying without wudu. Salah is invalid. It means Salah, Salah, they're talking here about the guy, I think, right? They're talking about Mo Salah. That means you can't just achieve alone. You achieve with, you know, it's like a team effort and so on. I found that quite funny. And strangely, I'm giving you an example of your Salah. If a person, Salah is invalid, they repeat their Salah. And if that is the case, then if you failed an examination, big deal. Did you try your best? Yes, you did. Well, then don't worry. You don't have to be first. You don't have to have got all A's. You don't. I think not everyone who gets all A's are actually nice people. They're not pleasant. They're not always pleasant people. And they're not always successful in life. So success in life is not only determined by... I mean, the only thing that determines it is not, or should I say, let me word it differently. Your success in life is not connected to your results per se, but many other factors, and many factors sometimes not even your results. So it's very interesting to see I like to ask people questions, you know, and see very successful people, ask them, how far did you go to, you know, in your secular education? A lot of them, they either didn't do well, they were dropouts, they hardly went to school, and so on. And they're very successful in dunya terms, you know, in the worldly terms. And then you find people who are highly, highly intelligent, they got all A's everywhere, and they're struggling in life. So that proves that, you know what, it's a very temporary congratulations that people will deliver you to say, wow, congrats, all A's, wow, 16 A stars, whoa, you broke the world record, Guinness Book of Records. Guess what? That doesn't even give you a ticket to the first step of contentment in life. Not even. You may be. And mashallah, congratulations to all those who did well. Mashallah, it's a good thing. You worked hard, and I like it because you're focused and you achieved a lot. But how's your character, man? Are you arrogant? Or how's your salah? How's your relationship with Allah? Because you were to die in a year's time, how did all those A's help you? I mean, are they going to put your O-level certificate on your chest to say, listen to the angels to say, treat them well, they got all A's, man? So while that may help you for the few years you're in the dunya, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. I'm not saying no, but try to balance it, man. Balance it with the goodness of the akhirah. I think if you get wealth, if you've got intellect and intelligence and so on, it should bring you closer to Allah. It should make you more regular with your salah. It should help improve your dress code. A lot of people, the dress code could be improved. The modesty. I'm talking of Islamic modesty, and you know what I mean. I might word it broadly because of the age we're living in, but you know exactly what you've got to do. So come on, get on with it, inshallah. Barakallahu feek.
What is a hijama? You had a picture of it once. And how does it work?
Oh, what is hijama? Mashallah. Hijama is a cupping. It's a sunnah method of perhaps treating yourself to improve your health. Cupping where it's either wet or dry. The wet is preferred, and they put a few little slices, small little incisions, small little slices with a little razor in different parts of your body, and they put a cup and they suck out all the dirty blood. And it definitely helps, like people who are struggling with migraines, headaches, sometimes pains in the body and aches, and even just sometimes problems with superstitious matters. If it really is confirmed, hijama will help. So you can do it at any time, on any day, but the effectiveness is greater if you were to do it on the sunnah days. The odd of the second half of the month, closer to the lunar month. You can ask the specialists in hijama, and they will tell you this date and this date. And if not, no problem, you can do it at any time. To be honest with you, the timing, yes, there is a preferred timing, but it's not the only time. However, the benefit of it is tremendous. I think once a year at least you should do it, and if you're not well, you can do it a little bit more regularly, like once every 6 months maybe, and then see. And don't go overboard, you know, do about an odd number of cups is good to do. I remember someone had a problem with their sinuses and so on, and they had these little cups that were done around their, you know, well, some parts of the face, and subhanAllah, it helped the head and that. So yeah, that's a good thing, mashallah.
Okay. How to deal with parents that don't accept your marriage proposal?
How to deal with parents who don't accept your marriage proposal? Well, the question is, why? Are they being unreasonable? Or is the person, the candidate that's there, really not worth it? Sometimes I've fought cases of people whose parents rejected their marriage proposals, But those parents had some good grounds, man. They were telling you, listen, you're crazy. This is the mother of your kids or the father of your kids. Are you sure? You know, and then people get into it and they regret later and they say, oh, my father was right. Too late. Your father's died already by the time you realized all of this. And sometimes we don't listen to our parents. We just don't want to take their advice. And you know what? Their advice is very, very good. In a lot of cases, parents care for you. So the problem with us is we give and donate our hearts at will. We watch too many movies. Sometimes we're too involved in the made-up world. When I say made-up world, yes, we're talking of social media. The standards have changed. Everything has gone, you know, you don't even know what you're marrying for. If you're marrying for what they look like tomorrow morning, in fact, the same evening of your marriage, before you even marry, a lot of the engagements are so long during the engagement, they've already met someone else who's prettier and more handsome than you are. So halas, it's over, because the whole criteria was, wow, you see the stud I'm getting married to. Well, there are other stallions in the same stud, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. So it's difficult because there's no one way of dealing with parents who have rejected a marriage proposal. Sometimes they are right. Sometimes they are correct. But you are too deep into that relationship to allow yourself to take serious, genuine, solid advice. That's what it is. You're too deep. So if you had involved your parents from the very beginning, on the outset, you involved your parents, it was so easy when they say no for you to just drop it like a hot potato, because you know that, you know what, I'm not attached in any way. If my father says no, it's a no. I mean, your parents have lived for you and worked for you and spent on you and sacrificed for you. Don't they have a slight say in who you're going to get married to? Don't they have a slight word of guidance, should I say? I think they do. Word of guidance, that's fair. They can tell us, at the end of the day, the decision is yours. But they have a right to guide you. Not just a right, they have a duty to guide you, to tell you. Now, if they're being unreasonable, then perhaps speak to someone respectful in society, community, in the family, whom your parents would look up to. If they're being outright racist, and you know what? Marrying outside your tradition, your culture, is halal, it's permissible, but it's tricky if the people are very rigid in their culture. It looks nice and easy. You've got to think of several factors. Where do you live? Who do you live with? You're going to live with your folks and extended family, and a person's coming in from another culture altogether. They may not like it at all. It will be so depressing for them if your culture or their culture is very different. Then there might be a few issues, and you've got to take that into consideration. That's why I say, if you're financially independent and you're going to live totally separate, you probably would be able to get along much better than if you're going to be living in the faces of extended family who might not appreciate the difference in culture. So while it is halal and permissible, and yes, there's nothing wrong with it, and I've fought for so many people, but I tell you what, it's not something that can be done without thinking. It has its challenges. Ask the people who are in it. They will tell you that's true. A few months into the marriage, they'll tell you very true. It has its challenges. So inshallah, that's a good word. If you get someone respectful to talk to your parents and see what happens. People say, can we marry without our parents' blessings? Under certain circumstances, if they are very unreasonable, then it can happen. It can happen where the wali, you would shift to the imam of the masjid or someone, he would become your guardian and get you married. In an Islamic country, it's the qadi, so the judge does that, and they can bypass your father. And that's not impossible. But like I say, it's a last resort. It's only when and if people are being totally ridiculously unacceptable and unreasonable. Yep, inshallah.
Can you give us some advice on how to keep sabr?
Sabr.
Yeah.
Okay, advice on how to keep sabr. Again, you need to you need to restrain yourself. There's a lot of self-control. There's a lot of dua. There's a lot of dhikr. There, you know, like the Prophet ﷺ speaks about how you can avoid or you can protect yourself when you're getting angry, not to allow it to get to a point of venting. So you drink a bit of water, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, so on. But I'm sure when it comes to sabr, sabr can be for so many things. Sabr ala al-bala, you know, when something calamity has struck you, how do you bear sabr? Well, if calamity has struck us, then we bear sabr only by getting closer to Allah. I spoke about it last night. Probably the video might come out in a few days' time. The audio is out already. Maybe you might see it. But I spoke about how to deal with sadness. And I said that, you know, it's only through Allah that you can deal with your sadness. It's a long-term commitment. That was the word I used. That was the phrase I used. Long-term commitment. You want to deal with your sadness? It's a long-term commitment to Allah. That's what it is. And slowly, we're humans. We will falter. We will sway this way, that way. But you know what? You have to actually come up. And you have to be strong. You have to try. And inshallah, things will improve. So if you want to help yourself bearing patience, develop your relationship with Allah through dhikr, through istighfar, through communicating with Allah, through sabr, through salah, through prayer as well. Ista'inu bis sabri wa salah. Seek help through sabr, through patience and prayer. So if patience and prayer are mentioned together, then surely prayer would help you to be patient. See? And your patience will help you to pray. MashaAllah. May Allah make it easy for us. Similarly, try and increase your knowledge. Knowledge is very important. Learn to help people, reach out to others, and Allah will help you. Try and create a circle of people who are going through the same problems, and then you see how it becomes. You know, it's much better. Allahu
A'lam. You have both young followers and older followers. What advice would you give to the young followers with less responsibility, and what advice would you give to the elders that have more responsibility?
Advice to the young and older followers. The young are not always less occupied. Some young people are much more occupied than older people. But anyway, I think, you know, what we've lost in the Ummah, or we're losing very clearly, is something called husnul dhann. To think good of your brothers and sisters, you know. Social media has given rise to thinking the worst possible thoughts of people, of scholars, of and people say what they want, when they want, how they want, without even thinking that these words are going to come back to haunt you. Hence, a lot of people are suffering and struggling, because you know what? They don't realize, you know, you think you're so good, but you've been saying bad things online, and Allah's making you pay for it now because you have hurt people. And the justice system of Allah is such that you cannot escape it. Be careful, be responsible. The youth need to be very responsible. Keep on going, try and be as responsible as possible. And Allah will grant you, you know, good responsibility is something really great, mashallah. Anyway, so this evening I have a few words that I'm going to be saying, inshallah. At the motivational evening, what would you like me to say? What's a good topic? What do you think I should talk about? It's just a motivational evening. It's not a deep talk. It's more motivation. And usually, when I have motivational speeches, I concentrate topics of relevance, something that is relevant to the age, the time, the people, something they must be going through. So do you have any ideas, perhaps?
Someone said you mentioned about social media. How can we
Yeah, how can we develop ourselves to stay away from envious thoughts? That also, it requires one to understand the plan of Allah, learn to love Allah and love what Allah has given you, and understand that Allah has blessed you in a unique way, and He's blessed others in their own way. And if you are going to be envious, you're actually going to be picking a war with Allah, who is the giver and the decider. That's why they say it leads to jealousy, full-blown jealousy. And that is, that will eat away at your good deeds, because you're questioning Allah's authority over everything. That why did you give this person this? I mean, who are you to question Allah? Allah's given them. And one thing I must say a lot of the times, what you see online is actually not a reality. You see people, mashallah, they're beautiful skin, beautiful this, lovely. A lot of it, I'm not saying all of it, but a lot of it is just makeup plastered, or sometimes it's filters. But everyone is human. That's why, respect to those who can appear even with their flaws, so that they can help others feel normal. Do you know there's a country here in Europe somewhere where they were banning, or they were talking about, or they did ban some filters that would basically show you as perfect. I don't know which country it is, but there is a country. And I was reading it and I'm thinking to myself, well, the reason is the amount of depression there is, because everyone feels that they're imperfect, including the people you looked at as perfect are depressed because they're imperfect in real life. But when you looked at them, you are depressed because of them, they're depressed because of you. How's that? Both of you are depressed. All of you are depressed. The reason is we all think that the others are perfect, but in real life, they're not. Come on, come. What a joke. Come on. Be happy with who you are without all of that, you know? So may Allah make it easy. May Allah make it easy. Yeah, so we were speaking about social media, right? It's very tricky. There is a lot of advice that I could give about social media. A lot of it. Number one, limit your time on it. Number two, don't take things seriously. No chance. Don't even take things seriously. If you want to, if you make content, alhamdulillah, do it. And make good content that is meaningful and that you will be proud of on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. And there's no harm. You can make good content, inshallah, and make as much as you want and keep going, keep yourself occupied with something positive. But if you're just gonna sit there and watch and comment, be careful. Every single thing you're going to be held accountable for, every single thing. So please be careful. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Obviously, I may talk about social media sometime and how to navigate through it. But one more point. There is a lot of hacking going on now. So if you don't know how to use social media, please learn about it. Sometimes people are communicating with you and that's not the person you think, it is. It's not the person you think it is. So if you don't know how to look for a verified account, how to check for people whose accounts are very, then you know what, you're wasting your time. You literally, and another thing is, if you get emails from people you don't know, no, you don't open them. If anything looking suspicious, even the things that don't look suspicious, sometimes you've got to be suspicious of them, in the sense that be turned off completely. Turn off auto download. It shouldn't ever download automatically, because people embed a bug on a photograph, and subhanAllah, you just got to click and it's done. You're hacked, your pages are gone, your accounts are gone, everything's gone. May Allah protect all of us. I mean, it happens. Another thing is, turn on two-step verification. Turn it on. It's worth it, because one day when they try to hack, there's another step. They won't be able to hack the whole thing. See? So these are a few pieces of advice. That's general advice, not even Islamic advice. But a lot of people don't know how to use social media. People say, oh, I've been talking to you for the last 2-3 months. Remember, I traveled somewhere and someone made me this certain type of headgear. And they came to give it to me and said, oh, mashallah, you know, I promised you this. And I said, what? Where? He said, no, I've been talking to you for how many months on social media? I said, no, I don't even wear these type of hats, man. And then they started showing me all this communication. I said, just look at who that is. It's not even me. It's not even the verified account. And I have no idea who it is. Anyone can just come up and call themselves a name. Be careful. Anyway, then I took the hats and I accepted the gift and I even wore it. I still wear one of them, actually. But to be honest with you, it was just a joke.
In 1 kilometer, exit left. We're on a roll.
Wow, that's Paw Patrol. Mashallah. So that's the kids. The kids have done that. That's what I was saying. If anyone noticed, they would have laughed at it. You know, on ways you can decide. You can choose a lot of different themes of the person speaking to you.
In 400 meters, exit left. We're on a roll.
There it goes, mashallah. So I just left it on because of the kids, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Alright, guys, I think we've come to an end, inshallah. May Allah bless you guys and we will talk again sometime.
Exit left. We're on a roll.
Assalamu alaikum. Oh, here it goes. I've got to turn this off quickly.
In 200 meters, at the roundabout.